This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, everybody. This is BFM 89.9. It is the 28th of February 2019, the last day of the month for February. I'm Chuang, joined by Sharitz Abdullah and Joyce Goh. Now, US markets closed a day earlier, mostly lower. The Dow was at 26,985, just down a tad. The S&P was down 1.5 points to 2792, and the Nasdaq held on to gains to edge up five points to 755.5.
Yeah, in Asia, Chinese markets were mixed by the end of the trading day. Shanghai Composite advanced 0.42% to above 2,900 points. Hong Kong Hang Seng declined about 0.15%.
Looking at other markets in brief, Japan's Nikkei 225 rose 0.5%. In Korea, South Korea, it added 0.37%. Down south in Australia, 0.36%. In FBM Cal CI, it closed lower, actually, 0.32%.
Now, in addition to all the woes about the trade wars and the global conflicts, another set of tensions have hit global markets, this time between the Indians and the Pakistanis. Now, the two countries are facing the worst conflict in nearly half a century, which is a long time. On Wednesday, an Indian military jet was shot down over disputed Kashmir territory, and then an Indian fighter pilot was captured by Pakistani forces. And then this follows India's preemptive strike on a terrorist training camp in Pakistan on Tuesday, in response to a February suicide attack on Indian military. So lots of things happening. Both sides are escalating tensions. We'll be talking to Ankit Panda. He's a senior editor at The Diplomat in about 15 minutes. So stay tuned after the 7:30 news. And then President Trump is also making headlines, Eric.
Yeah, that's right. Chuang, he met with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un last night in Hanoi. The two are expected to sign a joint agreement later today. President tweeted, "Kim Jong-un and I will try very hard to work something out on the denuclearization and then make North Korea an economy powerhouse." And also in Washington, D.C.?
Back in Washington, D.C., President Trump's ex-lawyer Michael Cohen has given a rather incriminating testimony before U.S. Congress implicating his former boss. So Cohen told the House of Representatives Oversight Committee that Trump knew of and directed plans for a Trump Tower in Moscow, stating publicly that, Trump stated publicly that he had no dealings in Russia. But according to this testimony, it looks like he might have known.
Actually, if you've got time, go and check out his comments. They're very colourful, very accusatory, and very, very, damaging to Trump, potentially, even though the Republicans are coming back to say that Mr. Cohen himself is no stranger to guilt. Now, of course, President Trump's tweets do move markets, which you saw earlier this week when he rallied against OPEC on Monday, which saw oil prices dip. Join us on the line to discuss this and other major market developments. Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy for Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, a very warm welcome to you. Now, Trump and Kim Jong-un are meeting for the second time in Hanoi this time. Are you looking for any hints for reduced geopolitical risks for the markets?
It would be very odd of me to say yes, right after you spoke about the India-Pakistan geopolitical tensions being ratcheted higher. So I guess, geopolitics is a little bit difficult to, wrap our heads around, because it's not just one particular angle of geopolitics. And we also bear in mind, even as Trump, strikes a more conciliatory tone with North Korea, there are a few issues at hand. One is, I think the U.S. intelligence, on a broader scale, continue to be worried about enforcement issues in North Korea. And I think Trump is also a little bit more antagonistic towards Iran, which means there's another source of geopolitical conflict. And now we've got India-Pakistan. So we do expect geopolitics to be elevated, even though the Korean Peninsula aspect of it probably diminishes.
Vishnu, U.S. GDP numbers are set to come out today. What's your wage on the print and your forecast for the full year?
Well, we're looking at this particular set of numbers coming in at about, 2.3% annualized on a Q-on-Q basis, because we expect U.S. consumers to have stepped back a bit as weak retail sales numbers showed. We also think that, for the full year, we probably see a bit more of a downturn. So from a 3+% hit rate of growth, growth will come down to on either side of 2%, and that would really depend on where the fiscal situation goes in the U.S.
Vishnu, is OPEC likely to relent when deciding their next round of production cuts?
If we were to believe what the OPEC has said so far, I think they are suggesting that they're not going to waver from the production cuts that they've committed to. And also, I think at these prices, they are at about Goldilocks levels. And so they wouldn't want to get too twitchy on what they signal to markets at this point of time.
Yeah, Vishnu, you might have seen developments in Malaysia, the finance minister saying that the ceiling price for pump oil prices for Malaysians will be lowered to 2 ringgit and 8 cents from 2.20 previously. That's going to have some kind of repercussions on Malaysia's fiscal deficit targets. What are your initial impressions?
Imaginably it would, but it would be remiss of me to suggest that I've run all the numbers, but even without doing so, I mean one very broad brush thought is, crude prices are down more than 10%, depending on our reference point, and this ceiling price, is down by between 5 to 6%. So you'd think that perhaps the cost offset is enough such that the subsidy impact isn't too big. The exact details will matter, but and of course we are acutely aware that the overall spending position will be impacted by lower oil prices in any case. So what doesn't help is oil's volatility, but the particular reduction in itself, I think, will not be the biggest worry for Malaysia's budget on a structural and ongoing basis.
All right, Vishnu, thanks always. As always, Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy for the Singapore-based Mizuho Bank. Now, gentlemen and lady, Gojek, have you ever tried their services? They've begun services in Thailand. Now, I think this is a two-wheeled ride-hailing service where basically you get ferried around on a motorcycle as opposed to in a car.
Yeah, I have. I've been to Jakarta, and I think I have seen them providing services. I think my family has acquired it. So it ranges quite broadly from getting people from point A to point B, but also mm-hmm. getting services like different types, from food to parcels to masseuse to nail polishes to home.
Everything,
yeah.
Everything that can everything be brought to your doorstep.
Under the roof.
Yeah. It's all about convenience right now, right? So if you can provide convenience, I think that is where your unique selling point can be. Gojek coming to Thailand, they're already, I think they're moving towards entering the Philippines as well. So I wonder whether or not they will come to Malaysia, because they are already in Vietnam and Singapore.
Do you know what? Because remember Loh Boon Siew, Penang, mm-hmm. right? He actually mm-hmm. brought the kap chai to Malaysia,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And for any developing country desirous of going from walking to getting somewhere, the first port of call is the motorcycle, right?
That's right.
And it's cheap, it's affordable, it's economical to run, and it's actually very, very interesting that the ride-hailing service evolution in ASEAN is really with two-wheeled ride-hailing services. So the Philippines is going to be the next port of call, according to a CEO, Nadim Makarim. It's building a presence in that part of the world. It's also in Thailand, where if you've been to Thailand, and Vietnam also, two-wheeled bikes.
Yeah.
Fantastic,
mm-hmm.
right?
So, yeah. So the question is, why these two countries, right? And and I guess if you can sort of, what are the similar characteristics between all the cities with Indonesia is the traffic jam.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Correct.
So it's
we have traffic jam here too.
Yeah, but you have not
seen
much.
Yeah, Jakarta's traffic jam is a whole new level.
We have got baby traffic jams compared to Jakarta,
yeah,
man. I've got friends who've got their children of drivers.
they call it in Indonesia Macet Total, and that is like total. Not moving,
long jam,
stuck.
Yeah.
So that's when it comes. Two-wheelers become really handy from bringing services in and out.
Yeah. I think Bombay, Delhi as well, right? Incredible jams. And it's an ASEAN-wide thing. And really interesting to say whether one day Gojek will be valued at more than Grab or even Uber, right? Uber is, what, 35 billion now?
Yeah, and Gojek is also actually looking into the whole e-wallets and remittance services service. So they are also trying to diversify out of beyond their ride-hailing, or be it the two-wheeler or just delivery. They're looking at e-wallets as well.
Okay, 16 minutes past 7. We're going to be coming back in just a bit with blockbuster news on Malaysia's aviation regulator. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.